Revelation chapter 17, it's the Scarlet Woman and the Scarlet Beast. What's that all about? Chapter 17 of Revelation, verses 1 to 18. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her head a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, and they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Well, quite a hard chapter, but we'll see what we can make of it this morning. Chapter 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation, we're introduced to the city of Babylon. Babylon was an ancient city in Old Testament times. And the religious and the commercial world systems just before the return of Jesus Christ will be like Babylon in the Old Testament. So if it's going to be like Babylon in the Old Testament, we need to know something about this historical city. Before we get into chapter 17, we need to understand the background of this end time system. And so we need to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech." That would be far simpler, wouldn't it? Anyway, "and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Now, after the flood, man tried to make a name for himself. And this movement was started by Nimrod, that's Noah's great-grandson. And Nimrod built Nineveh, that wicked city that Jonah was sent to preach against. And Nimrod was involved in building the Tower of Babel. Now, these towers were not just towers, they were known as ziggurats. And the pagan priests used to climb up these towers, they were kind of like idols really, in order to chart the stars. And today we still have this religion in existence. It involves following the signs of the zodiac. Today, if you go into most Japanese malls, shopping center, said you'll find, certainly in Kyu's Mall in Tennoji, you'll find several ladies willing to tell your fortune, either through reading a palm or the signs of the zodiac, whatever it is. And this is Satan's trick. This is the oldest religion in the world. And don't go to these ladies, don't go to these people, because this is Satan's way of sucking you in to something that's going to harm your life. So they are continuing to promote the oldest religion in the world. Now in the UK we call them fortune tellers, but today actually they mainly operate on the internet. People pay money to find their fortunes told. Now in Genesis we're told that God heavily judged this religion by confusing their languages. And as a result of this religion rebelling against God, they were scattered throughout the whole world. And God did this by confusing their language. So if you're having a hard time, if you're Western, you're having a hard time learning Japanese, well, that's because God made it difficult, because he didn't want to unite the nations and keep this religion going. So no longer was there one language in the world, but many. And so there is a sense where all the false religions that we have today have their origin in Babylon. It's very interesting how God scattered the nations, and now the nations want to come together. And it's a very interesting study when you look at the whole of world history. So there is a sense where all false religions have their origin in Babylon. And in the end times, this style of religion is going to come back in a very big way. If you research the internet and get statistics, you'll discover that even in America today, that this religion is coming back in a very big way. Karl Marx is often quoted as saying that religion is like the opium of the people. And what he meant was that religion is like a drug that keeps people going. And there's an element of truth in that statement. Because God has created us to be worshippers, worshippers of the one true God. And if we do not worship the God of the Bible, then we will worship something else or someone else. In its essence, religion is man's attempt to replace the worship of the one true God with something else. Now in Osaka, it might even be worshipping the Hanshin Tigers baseball team. Or if you like soccer like me, Osaka Gamba. That could be your religion, or some other sporting event, or some other religious organization. I remember when I was sharing the gospel around our church in London, I knocked on one door and the man said to me, I'm not interested in Christianity, my religion is West Ham United Football Club. Well, at least he was honest. and I knew exactly where I stood. So people do have a religion, and it's not always fortune telling. It could be something else. So religion can be anything that has first place in your life, anything that you worship. So false religion is going to play a major role in end times. So as we move towards the second coming of Jesus, people who are non-religious now will become religious, okay? Because it's all moving towards one world religion. So therefore there's going to be a slow and subtle move, both now and in the future, to unite all those religions together. So during troubled times, people do look to religion as a means of support. And during this period, people will follow false religions. Now in chapter 17, we're introduced to a woman dressed in scarlet and to the scarlet beast. In order to cover this chapter quite simply, because I'm not going to go into some heavy stuff this morning, I'm just going to ask and answer four questions. And these are, who is the woman? What is she doing? What is her destiny? And how can I avoid being seduced by the woman? First question is, who is the woman? We're told a number of things about this woman that reveal her identity. In verse 1, she is called the great harlot who sits on many waters. In some other Bible translations, the word prostitute is used. Now, in the Bible, the word harlot or prostitute is often used as a metaphor for false religion, idolatry, or religious apostasy. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 21, it says, "How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers." And in Hosea chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, it says, "Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth Avon, nor swear an oath, saying, 'As the Lord lives.' For Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country." So in verse 5, the name of the woman is identified, and it is written on her forehead, and on her forehead was the name written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth." So her name could be shortened to Babylon the Great. And in verse 18, we're told that the woman who John saw was the great city who reigns over the kings of the earth. We already know that the woman's name is Babylon the Great, and this word Babylon connects at least five times in Revelation chapter 18, which we'll see in a couple of weeks, as an actual city. So we have ancient Babylon all those years ago, where this false religion came out and God confused the language, but also we have a new Babylon, a new city. Whether it'll be called Babylon or not, I suspect it will. So that's in Revelation 18, verse 10, 16, 18, and 19. So we can safely say that there is actually going to be a city that will be built in the future, that will be at the center and the heart of this one world religion. It'll be something like what Rome is today with the Roman Catholic Church. If you've ever been to Rome, there's like a Vatican, which is like a city within a city, and that's where all the Roman Catholic Church, they have their own money and their own rules. I'm not sure where this city is going to be built. It could possibly be built on the old site of the original city of Babylon. A lot of scholars feel that it's actually going to be Rome, but I don't know, that doesn't matter. We know that the old Babylon sat on a site of many waters because it was specially designed to water all the beautiful gardens. There's the original Babylon site, and that's the original Hanging Gardens of Babylon. So the original Babylon was on a site of many waters. It was beautiful gardens. So it could well be something. The city was definitely going to be like the old Babylon. It's going to be a beautiful place. That's going to be the head of world religions. Many Bible scholars, as I said, believe that it might be Rome. Basically, we don't know, and it's not really important. What is important is that we understand the times in which we live in. Now, this is very important because things can happen very quickly, like they did in England this week. Suddenly, the bomb goes off and everyone's aware that there's something going on that's not good. So we're living in the last days, and more people are going to get interested in false religions. We have the truth, we have the Bible, we know we have the truth, we love Jesus, we love the God of the Bible, but people are not going to gravitate to Christianity. They're going to go into false religions. So in conclusion, the woman is identified as a great city that will be built in the future that will represent the one world religion. It could possibly be built on the site of the old Babylon city and will definitely include many waters. It could be built somewhere else, it doesn't matter. But there will be some center of this one world religion where people will flock to, like Rome. So that's the first question. Who is the woman, this great city of false religion? What is the woman doing? Well, the passage identifies five things that the woman is actively engaged in. The first thing we notice in verse 2 is that the woman is seducing the world leaders. The woman is seducing the world leaders. In the end times, world leaders are going to be seduced into false religion. So the leaders of the world are going to become intoxicated with this one world religion. Kind of interesting, it's not in the script, but today our world leaders are a mixture of people who do not believe in God and those who follow a false religion. There are very few Christian leaders in the world today. There are at least 50 leaders of their country in the world today that follow Islam, another false religion. Their countries are totally intoxicated with false religion. And Satan has already deceived these people. Now, in the UK today, we have a Muslim mayor of London, and we have four serving members of parliament in the British government who are Muslims. And they will be pushing for their religion to take hold of the UK. It is the teaching of Islam, whether you believe it or not, it's all written down in the Quran. It's the teaching of Islam to have world domination, and they will do this by force or by deception. So we see these terrorists today blowing things up, and we call them extremism, but actually Islam wants world domination, and they'll do it by the sword if they have to. So it's not too hard to see this chapter could be a reality in 20 or 30 years' time. Our job is to rescue people being seduced by false religion. So I hope you're up for that challenge. That's our job. Don't get too depressed. But if people are getting into false religion, we need to present them with the truth. The next thing we discover is that the woman will also be involved in not just seducing world leaders, but seducing unbelievers in verse 2. We're told in verse 2 that the inhabitants of the world would be made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I hope that you've never been drunk. I was only drunk once and it put me off when I was about 13 or 14. But when you're drunk, you're not in control of your emotions and your actions. So these unbelievers will be drunk with this religion. When people get into these cults, it almost seems as if they've been hypnotized. So Satan is able to control people in this religion. They're going to be seduced and controlled into this world religion. So everyone in the world is going to be seduced into believing this one world religion. In Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 7, there is a prophecy actually that fits well into this situation. It says, Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine, therefore the nations are deranged or mad. So we see all that time ago in Jeremiah, he prophesied about what's going to happen in the future, and here it is right before our eyes today. So this verse explains that it will seem as if the whole earth has gone mad following this one world religion. It's not difficult to imagine how the whole world could be seduced into this religion. Today, 25% of the world has been seduced into a false religion called Islam. So a quarter of the world today has been sucked in. I know they don't all believe, but they have to, because they'll be murdered in their country. In the UK today, they estimate by 2020 there will be more Muslims worshipping in their prayer meetings than Christians worshipping in church. Sadly, the UK has sold out to Islam already. I'm not talking about Christians, I'm talking about our leaders. And this is largely due to the leadership of the country. Everything that happens in the world, even in our lifetime, is moving steadily towards this one world religion. I don't know if it's going to be Islam or whether they're going to invent another religion and everyone's going to get sucked in, but there will be one. In the UK, over the last couple of years, 500 churches have closed and they have been replaced by 500 mosques. That's unbelievable, but it's true. There is a great challenge in our world today, and that is for Christians to present the gospel clearly to those who will listen. We can't present the gospel to those who won't listen, but we can to those who will. And this includes us here at OIC. We have people from around the world in Osaka, and they're going to go back to their home countries. Prayer and the proclamation of the gospel are the two powerful weapons that God has given us. We can pray and we can present the gospel. And we're going to spend some time praying today around our area, inviting people to these meetings. So, thirdly, we're told that the woman is going to be working with the Antichrist. In verse 3, we're told that the woman was sitting on a scarlet beast. We've already met the beast in chapter 13 and 14. He's the Antichrist, who will initially unite the people through religion. For a period of time, the woman and the beast will coexist, but we're told in verse 16 that the relationship will end. And the 10 horns which you saw in the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So eventually, the woman is taken out of the picture. So we see here that the Antichrist and the world leaders of the country will be united as never before in world history. Now, we've just had the summit in Italy, and Prime Minister Abe has been there. These world leaders are always meeting together. This week I saw on NHK TV that China want this old Silk Road all the way to Europe. The world is becoming, in a sense, a small place. It's called about the global village. So it's not going to be hard to see this one world religion is going to be the unifying body in the world. So fourthly, in verse 4, we're told that the woman will work hard on being attractive. Okay? So this new false religion is going to be very, very attractive. In verse 4, we're told that the woman will be dressed in purple and scarlet, which are the colors of royalty and prosperity and wealth. So this world religion is going to be very attractive, and people are going to be sucked into it. And finally, we're told in verse 6 that the woman will be murdering believers. Okay, false religion is a murderer because Satan is behind false religion. John 8 and 44 says, "You are your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So the history of the church since the beginning of the book of Acts has demonstrated that false religions have been very hard-hitting to those who have a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may surprise you to know that 900,000 Christians have been martyred for their faith over the last 10 years. 20-something people are killed in Manchester. It's world news, not a simply support police everywhere. But 900,000 Christians have been martyred in 10 years and not a word. So we can see where it's all coming from. Very, very sad. The devil is very active today through Islam. The woman is already at work in our world today. This is why we need to pray for Christian believers in Islamic-controlled countries. And they're not too far away from Japan. Number three, what will happen to the woman? Well, we're told that the beast will eventually destroy the woman, verse 16. That may be good news that the woman is destroyed, but the Antichrist will set himself up as God to be worshipped. So good news and bad news. And my last question this morning is, how can we avoid being seduced by the woman? Well, humanly speaking, if you don't want to be seduced by a prostitute, then don't go to the places where prostitutes hang out. Today, a lot of prostitutes hang out on the internet. I'm talking about false religions now. It's just a parallel. So beware of the seduction of the internet. I think that in the end days, the internet is going to play a big part in seducing people into this false religion. We know, we've already studied about miracles and everything happening, and everybody be able to plug in. So young people today can't live without their smartphones and their tablet, so there's going to be a lot of false religion on the internet. Now, I would advise people to study the Bible from the Bible and definitely not from the internet. Always check out the sources of your information. The question you need to ask is, who is influencing your faith? Is it the Bible or is it someone else? There are many genuine Bible scholars, and they help us to understand the Bible. However, letting the Bible teach you the Bible is the best way to understand the Bible. Other people can help us to do this, but there's no shortcut to actually reading the Bible and interpreting the Bible from other parts of the Bible. Okay? It's like a mosaic. If you put all the pieces together, you see the big picture. If your faith is deeply rooted in the Bible, then you are less likely to be seduced with another religion, however attractive it might be. It might surprise you to know that the false religion that's called Jehovah's Witnesses was actually started by professing Christians, and over the years they've recruited many professing Christians. So it's easy to start a cult, and it's easy for people to get sucked in. However, they were seduced by false teaching. Now, as we've been told from the scripture, the woman is very attractive. False teaching is very attractive. The Jehovah's Witnesses, it's very attractive. As this message is a little bit shorter than normal, I'd like us to, in a moment, spend some time in prayer together. I'd like us to pray for this community around Tamatsukuri, Morinemia, because this is where we worship. This is where we can invite people to hear the truth. We've got a couple of events coming up in June and July that need prayer. We've got the ladies' meeting June the 18th. We've got our concert, a handbell concert on the 9th of July, where we have young people, 25, I believe, coming from Hong Kong. So there's a lot going on in OIC. There's a lot we can be involved in. So don't get discouraged about the bad stuff in the book of Revelation. Be encouraged that we can make a difference, even in one person's life. We can make a difference. If we can make a difference in one person's life, it'll be worth it, because it was worth it for us, and someone made the effort for us.